Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
There seem to be a thousand ways to separate the innocent from their money. There are people working scams and all sorts of tricks on us all the time, and really stealing millions, 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 or turning to Steve Bernas of the Better Business Bureau and Steve Baker of the Federal Trade Commission's Western Midwest Region Office, both of them the heads of their organizations. I say millions and millions. Does the overall national take run into billions? It must, right?
It must run in billions. It has to. A lot of most consumers don't complain, though, unfortunately. So there's the true figure is not known, but it's in the billions. I don't think we can give an exact amount because we really don't know that.
But they're trying to steal from us every day.
Every day. And I've been doing this for almost 25 years now, and every day it seems to get worse and worse, and more consumers are down on their luck, and there's people are trying to take advantage of that situation.
So it says Steve Bernas. I bet Steve Baker says the same.
It's true. We're awash in a sea of fraud. And I guarantee your listeners that they've either been a victim in the last year or two, or the one of their close friends or family have been. We know that from our own studies. I think the last study we did is we found that just for six most basic scams that 12% of the adult population of the U.S. have been victimized in the previous year, some 25 million people. And we're just asking about a fraction of it. So it's rampant.
You speak of the six most basic scams. What are they, one through six?
Well, this was several years ago. Steve's got his top, Bernas has got his top 10. But the things we get the most complaints about at the Federal Trade Commission are identity theft, number one, debt collection, number two, prize and sweepstakes scams are number three. And then we've got number four, I think, is basically undelivered merchandise that people get an order from either catalogs or more likely over the Internet.
Tell me about debt collection. How is that a scam? If I owe something and I haven't, I've been rather retrograde or unresponsive in paying the bill, essentially they may turn it over to a collection agency. That's legitimate, isn't it?
And to the extent that people owe debts, there's certainly a very legitimate industry of collecting those debts. Unfortunately, a couple of things are happening. One is this we call time-barred debt. There are companies buying 15- or 20-year-old debts from credit card companies, whoever have long ago written them off. They buy them for pennies on the dollar. So they're going out and trying to collect these things. They're past the statute of limitations, too old to be reported on credit reports. They've got very sketchy records, so they might have known that there was somebody in Chicago named Steve Baker that owed a debt 12, 15 years ago, and they just start calling every Steve Baker they can find and demanding that they pay it.
And do they get response from many Steve Bakers who aren't the actual guilty Steve Baker?
Of course they do, but they also get enough people that pay. And if you make even a partial payment, even though it's past the statute of limitations, you've revived that debt. And then they can sue you over it again.
And what could you have bought or what service could you have paid for or could you have ordered 20 years ago on which you defaulted with regard to payment?
A lot of it's credit cards, old credit card debts or other loans to auto repair shops.
So I went to an auto repair shop 18 years ago to get my brakes fixed, and they charged me $700 for a brake defect, and I was retrograde, and I was uncooperative, and I didn't pay. 18 years later, they're going to dun me for it, but statute of limitations gives me clearance?
That's a legal defense. You've got to be able to assert it and know that it's the statute.
Well, where does the statute of limitations plug in?
Usually it's 7 years for most kind of debts.
If I haven't paid for 7 years, I'm clear of the debt.
You've got to assert in court as a defense, and some people don't know enough to assert it. We recently,
I didn't know it until this moment.
We just brought a case alleging that it was a failure to disclose a material fact to not tell people that if you make a payment on this old debt, you're reviving it.
Okay, so I owe $700 to the auto repair shop that worked on my brakes all those years ago. They're out of business. Who has picked up the debt, and who was pursuing me?
They get sold. They get sold in bulk to the third-party companies that purchase this old debt for maybe a penny on the dollar worth, and they're out.
And one day I get a phone call, do I?
Right. Or you might get a phone call even if it's not your debt, if it's another Rosenberg, and they're just looking for one.
It's a Milt Rosenberg, but there are thousands of them around the country. Right. And they reach me, and what do they say to me?
They basically say you owe the debts, and sometimes they threaten you that you will be arrested or that something they'll sue you for money that they can't sue you for. So they just threaten you and try to get you to pay, and even though you don't own it.
Even if I'm the wrong Milt Rosenberg, they can scare me into paying?
Some people do. Like Steve Baker said, the other people we have seen have paid debts they realize they shouldn't have paid in the first place.
Why do they?
They get scared. They really get scared because a lot of it's threatening that they will be arrested. Nobody wants to get arrested over this. And
the caller tells you he's from law enforcement or some kind.
They get law enforcement or the bill collection agency itself. They'll call the police. They'll have a police car at your house not too soon thereafter. And they want you to give a credit card information out to them so they can you can make payment to them. They'll take any money we'll give them. So if you owe $1,500, they say we'll settle it today for $100 or $200, whatever it may be.
Give them your credit card number as well.
Exactly.
With which they do what?
They take it right out of your account immediately, or they ask for your information on your checking account so they can debit your account right away.
Would they then use the credit card number for other purposes?
Some have, but most no. Usually they just pay for this debt, and they just continue on. They're legitimate bill collectors, and some are doing illegal practices.
Now, the funny thing about this, because you told me about this before we came on the air, the caller may very well be calling you from Mumbai, India.
People don't realize that because they have an American-sounding voice, they could be coming over from a different country as well. And people have to do some research. And the first thing you do if somebody tells you a bill is to ask them for proof. You want something in writing. As Steve said before, that a lot of people are sketchy stuff that's gone years ago, 15 years ago, even 5 years ago. Sometimes they don't have the proper information.
The Better Business Bureau compiles every year a list of the 10 biggest scams. What are some of the ones on your list?
The top three, we have work-at-home scams. That's number one. It's consumers calling us every day that have been promised a job or promised a profit by working with these companies. You can make thousands of dollars sitting at your home in your armchair and doing nothing. So consumers, the tip-off to the rip-off on these is advance fees. That they want you to send an advance fee. They'll tell you how to make money at home, and that's how they make the money, is that they just tell you they're going to send you instructions, and the instructions never come, or the material never comes.
Never at all.
Never at all. Most times than not. The tip-off on that is that you have to pay an advance fee, and that's usually with this scam, but a lot of other scams, is that you have to pay an advance fee or wire money outside the country. That's a tip-off to rip-off, and you don't do it.
What's the typical advance fee?
The advance fee can be anywhere from $10. It can be to hundreds of dollars. And most times when people spend $10, they write it off to experience. But if you think about it, Milt, they do it to 40,000 people, and they send in $10. That's where they make the money.
What's their mode of contract? Is it phone? Is it internet?
It was phone in the early days. Now it's actually shifted to the internet base because they can send out millions of emails per second, and they just throw everything to the wall and sees what sticks
to
the wall.
Get rich quick. Send us $100. We'll show you how you can work from home and earn
thousands of dollars. But people are down on their luck. They actually truly want to work from home. They're not looking for something for free. They think, hey, I can make $1,000.
So that's one of the big scams. Right. What are the other two or three?
Credit repair services with advanced fees. We have people, organizations that saying they will take care of your credit report for you, clean it up a little bit for you, and change it. Information on there. You can't change information that's accurate and verifiable. So consumers have to understand that nobody can do it. The only time you can change things if it's wrong or errors, and you can do that yourself free of charge. And it is illegal for organizations to charge an advance fee.
Do we sometimes hear those services offered on the radio in commercials?
We hear them on radio. You see them in print.
I fear that is true.
You see them on radio. We print. And you got organizations in Chicago that have businesses that we sent what we call BBB shoppers out to see if they truly charge an advance fee. Because there's some organizations that are legitimate and they don't charge the fee until they're done. Well, a lot of these fly-by-nights or scam artists charge a fee.
Well, there are some credit repair operations which are legitimate.
Well, some are, but you got to do some homework on them. They can help you, but they can do things that you can do yourself. You should get your credit report every year. I don't care if you have credit or not. You should check your credit report every year to see if there's any problems with it or see if you've been a victim of identity theft. And there's only one place to go. Annualcreditreport.com is the only website we suggest that you go to, because the others, you end up, even though they have free in the name, you're going to end up paying.
Work-at-home scams, credit repair scams. What else you got?
Again, with the economy, advance fee lenders. Lenders that will send you an email saying that they can guarantee you a loan for $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000, whatever it may be. Consumers tend to believe it because they say it's guaranteed. How can it go wrong? But they ask for an advance fee. Again, the tip-off to rip-off advance fee, that you need insurance money or you need an application fee.
They're ready to lend me $10,000.
Exactly. Guaranteed. You have to sign your name and it's done. So there's no checking.
But before they send me the $10,000, I said to them, how much?
You could send them $100, $200, and sometimes it keeps escalating.
And
so,
what's the justification?
Application fee, most instances. And then if you do pay, they actually ask for insurance. And, well, you have bad credit, so we need insurance on you. So I got to take an insurance loan, send us another $200. And they keep trying to escalate it into more and more.
Before they send you a penny.
You never get a penny. Those are guaranteed 100% rip-off. Yeah. Nobody can guarantee you a loan.
Do I know who they are, where they are?
Most of them are outside of Canada. I think Steve has more information than they have. A lot of them are outside in Canada.
Toronto.
Right.
Yeah, Toronto is very much home to these sorts of frauds.
Why? What advantage do they have if they do this from Toronto pointed towards American victims?
Well, the modern telecommunication system, and once a fraud gets established and successful, then other people spin off from that, set up their own competing companies. And there are a lot of them, and in my experience.
But are they safer if they're in one country and victimizing people in another country?
Yeah. We have been learning to work with, for example, the Toronto police. They're good friends. I go to Canada several times a year to work with them on frauds just like this. And we also have frauds in the U.S. who rip off Canadians.
Uh-huh.
So just as economies have gone global, fraud's gone global too.
Diogenes wandered ancient Athens, as you remember, looking for an honest man. He had trouble finding him. Well, how would Diogenes do these days?
He'd have trouble finding him as well. We see scams and con artists actually increasing as well, and they're getting more serious and they're getting more egregious.
Well, I would suppose hard times tend to foster the growth of these kinds of ripoffs.
It does. It brings them out of the woodwork. They try to take advantage of somebody down on their luck, and it happens all the time. Even with storm chasers who go around chase people for home improvements when they've been victimized by a storm. So they're just trying to take advantage of the situation. So whatever scam or whatever disaster occurs, you can rest assured that the scam artists will try to take advantage of the situation.
Storm chasers. What is a storm chaser? We will find out right after we pause for these totally honest offers.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
And we return to the two Steves, Steve Bernas, who is president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois, and Steve Baker, who is the director of the Federal Trade Commission for the Midwest region. You both get a lot of volume at your offices, do you?
We do. We get a lot of more volume, more calls, though. The more calls we get, the better it truly is, because people are checking out ahead of time, and that's what we want. Is consumers, we have the panacea for consumer fraud, is that if you check out the company or offer with the BBB, the Federal Trade Commission, and other organizations, you won't be duped by these organizations. But so many times people just rely on what they say on the phone or send them an email, and they don't do their due diligence ahead of time. They know where to complain, but they don't know where to go ahead of time. That's where they should go, to the BBB.
With the Federal Trade Commission, from a distance, one assumes, gee, they're busy investigating big corporations and sort of doing what the SEC does. But that's not the case at all, is it?
Well, we're there to protect consumers and the problems consumers
have. You're really a consumer agency also.
Oh, yeah, of course. And we do sue big companies for deceptive practices. The FTC recently had a settlement with Reebok over its advertisements for its toning shoes, where they claimed they would really tone your muscles just by wearing the shoes, and that really wasn't true.
I hadn't heard about this one.
Oh, well, they advertised pretty extensively on TV. The shoes kind of rock a little bit.
Yeah.
And supposedly this was going to do all these wonderful athletic things for you without you having to exercise.
And take 10 years off your age or something.
Well, at least make you look better and make your muscles stronger. Uh-huh. And there really was no real substantiation.
And you sued them
claims
for false advertising?
Yeah.
And what happened?
I'm trying to remember just how much money they paid back that is going to go back to victims, something like $24 million.
That's not a bad job.
Yeah. So we do have legitimate companies that cross the line, make claims they can't support. We usually settle with them pretty well. They're in it for the long haul. So for the most part, they've got incentives to try treat people right. Of course, like all of us, we don't always respond to positive incentives we're supposed to. But the other big part of what we do is go to people who do not depend on repeat business, people that are really essentially frauds and scams, and some of the people Steve
Frauds and scams are fly-by-night types.
Well, not entirely. No, they're really not. A lot of people, they don't scare very easily, and these people often have large operations, sometimes with hundreds of employees, that can be around for years.
For example?
We had a company called Suntasia in Florida. They had 1,200 people. They had their own building with its own gym. One of the biggest employers in Largo, Florida.
And what are they selling or pushing?
They were calling people and offering them a free sample of some sort of buying club thing. And if you gave them your credit card number, they, for the small price, then they started billing you for a lot of things that you didn't know you were getting. And I'm trying to remember what they took in. It was something well over $50 million.
Billing you for things you didn't know you were getting, but you got them anyway?
Right.
Or things that you never got?
Well, you supposedly had the rights to go onto websites to do different things, but you didn't know you got it because when they – and it was worthless if you had. But if you signed up with them, they send you an envelope which looked like junk mail, and most people threw it away. And therefore, they didn't realize it was a negative option thing. Unless you opened the envelope, called them back, they were going to start billing you every month. And they did. They were billing
millions of
people.
Unless you tell us no, we're going to now start providing you with what service?
Well, supposedly the right to go online and order vacation services.
And for that right, we're going to charge you?
I think it was like $50 a month on your credit card. And people often didn't notice it for months and months.
Well, that sounds totally illegal, is it?
Mm. Absolutely. But my point was a lot of the time they're not fly-by-nights. People have it in mind. This is two or three guys hanging out in a motel room that's going to skip to the next town. And they're not. They're big. They're established, making
lots
of money.
Well, why is this company still in business?
Oh, they're not. We shut them down a couple of years
ago. You got rid of them.
Yeah. And even when we went in and took over their headquarters, right behind their reception desk was a sign that said they were a member of the Better Business Bureau, which they were not.
Exactly. It happens all the time. Companies try to dupe people out of their life savings or small amount of money. It could be $50, $25, and some have been pennies that have been put on credit cards by scam organizations.
There are thousands or millions of businesses in this country. How many of them are fraudulent?
It's hard to put a number on, truthfully, and it really is. I mean, because fraud is not really reported enough.
Yeah.
Most consumers write it off to experience, like that one vote mentality, one complaint's not going to make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of – but the scams are increasing, though. They're increasing in high volumes, and that more and more people are losing their life savings.
Before we went to the last commercials, storm chasers. And they're big right now because of storms that we've been through. What is a storm chaser?
Basically, a storm chaser is a bad contractor who in a different area, and they basically chase storms around and take advantage of the people that have just been victimized by a storm, whether it be they have a hail damage, whether it be they have wind damage or whatever it may be.
And they knock on your door and they say what?
They basically, we need an advance fee. Well, you know, we'll help you. We sign a contract. We need a half down or a third down or whatever.
Help you with what?
Whatever repairs you need, whether your roof has been peeled off or that your roof has collapsed or whatever it may be.
Well, they may tell you don't know you're damaged, but you are.
Oh, exactly. Right. Your chimney might fall down. It looks like it's going to fall down, whatever it may be. They try to scare you using scare tactics. We're always deeply concerned.
But aren't these the travelers? Aren't these the gypsy-connected operators who travel the country all the time?
Some are, but some are organizations that have just set up to chase storms. They actually have their own website where they can tell where a storm hit, and they know where to move their teams over to that specific area. And then in the past, they have changed their names. They go into a Spanish neighborhood, they have a Spanish name. Polish neighborhood, they have a Polish name. So consumers don't check out the companies properly. And also, the good contractors are too busy then, because there's a storm in Chicago. All the good contractors will be working, so they bring other teams in to try to take care of those people.
The great Roman maxim was caveat emptor, buyer beware. What are the basic beware signs for these and other such records?
Well, obviously, the first thing, obviously, that they can do something at a really reduced price that nobody can get it for or quickly done for you. So you really got to understand that aspect and look at something that they promise you that for nothing, that you can either guaranteeing that you can win something or something that's too good to be true.
So beware of low prices and beware of freebies.
Freebies is the thing, because they get you in a freebie, but then on the back, and they say they're going to charge you shipping and handling costs. They can add up to hundreds of dollars. And sometimes, like Steve Baker said, it's a so small amount. People go on for years. They don't realize they've been charged $20 a month for two, three years. And that's how these bad actors make money.
I told you before we came on the air a few months ago, right here in my office at WGN, there came a call, and there was a voice recorded stuff telling me I could go on a Caribbean cruise for two for free. And if I were interested, hit fresh number one. I did, out of curiosity. A live person came on and asked me who I was. I gave him a false name and a bit of an accent, and just to hear the pitch. And the pitch was whatever it was. I don't remember. But it was a free Caribbean cruise, and something else was involved, but it wasn't. It was vaguely said. They just wanted to get me to commit, and they probably wanted a credit card number, I'm not sure. I said, well, I'm going to think about it. I didn't go further with it. But they've been on me ever since. Once a week or once every 2 weeks comes a call telling me the offer has run out, or in one of them, I owe money because I made a commitment. And I said, no, I don't. You're wrong. And I hung up. But they're still there. Who's doing what to me and why?
Well, first of all, I mean, one of the things we have with the Federal Trade Commission is a national do not call list, which I'm sure you're on, and any of your listeners that are not should. It exempts politicians and charities, but people that are selling goods and services. So those robocalls, those pre-recorded calls that unfortunately we all get so many, are flat illegal to begin with. So anybody that's calling you with one of those pre-recorded things selling something, you know they're operating illegally out of the box, so don't believe them. With your cruise thing, there could be two or three things going on. A lot of the time what they want to do is get you into a timeshare presentation somehow. And it's a come on to try to get you to do
timeshare for some kind of apartment someplace.
Yeah, they want you to go somewhere where they can lock you in a room. Yeah. And they really do lock people in rooms for hours at a time and browbeat them until they agree to buy a timeshare. There are other travel scams where they tell you the airfare is free, but there's huge hidden costs. I mean, there's never any discounts on these things. Sometimes you end up having to pay double what the room is. We saw one time a travel scam where the airfare that you had to pay was white glass airfare, which I was not aware of, but you basically had to pay the most expensive flight there ever could be, which more than paid for the rest of the trip.
I want to hear more about this because there's a whole bunch of scams related to travel, including, of course, cruise ships, which have produced a lot of trouble for a lot of people lately. Either they get ptomaine poisoning or the ship turns over on its side. But those are supposedly legitimate companies. There are illegitimate cruise ships as well, cruise ship offers, rather. There's so much to be talked about with regard to vacations and false vacations that are offered as ways of really milking you for every last penny the criminal can get. We need to go into this more. As summer approaches, or even as winter settles in and we want to get away into the sun, there are lots and lots of scams that we are subject to. We return to Steve Bernas and Steve Baker right after a full update on the evening's news from Paula Cooper.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
And back to Steve Bernas and Steve Baker, the two Steves. Steve Bernas is the president and the CEO of the Better Business Bureau for Chicago and Northern Illinois. Steve Baker, who's a lawyer by training, is the director of the Federal Trade Commission Midwest Regional Office. We're on to sort of vacation scams and related things. Stay for a bit with cruise ships and all the things associated thereunto.
Well, there's if you fill out things at your Jiffy Lube or local diner where it says win a free cruise, you're guaranteed to get a call from a telemarketer. And often there's huge catches. One, of course, is that you have to sit through extensive timeshare presentations. We'll lock the door and almost not let you out unless you buy a timeshare.
Timeshares for what?
For a timeshare is a room that you can have for a week on an annual basis, and you pay something $25,000, $30,000 for upfront in order to have the rights to go visit that. There may be a timeshare, but not everybody wants one, and they're often quite expensive. And so you may think you're winning a free vacation or a discount on a vacation without realizing that you're committing, say, one day out of your 3 days of vacation to sitting in an airless, windowless room being harassed by a salesman trying to get you to buy one of these things.
And if you don't buy?
Well, then they bring in somebody with even more high pressure. They drop the price a little bit. And it takes a great deal of willpower to not buy.
Do they ever go the distance and threaten to sue you or arrest you because, in fact, you've already made promises that you don't know that you have made, but you're legally obliged?
I wouldn't say that doesn't happen.
I wouldn't say that as well, but it happens to all sorts of people, even college kids. It happens to spring break trips. I mean, they'll take advantage of people in any way, shape, or form, and you never know who's behind it. You know, you don't know if it's a boiler room somewhere.
What kind of spring break trip might be suspicious.
Well, they'll get emails or on Facebook or social media now saying you got great trips to, you know, to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, you know, spring breaks, and that's all you need to do is call us and we'll help you out or give us your credit card information to book it or whatever it may be.
And so the kid calls and says, I'm interested, and then what happens?
They want their credit card information. That's all they want, to start charging their credit cards.
And once they get the credit card,
they go have a field day with it, and they commit identity theft, and they try to take as much out of the account as possible. And then
that's a ruse to get you into identity theft.
Exactly.
Where they absolutely can buy everything with your credit card.
Well, they try to buy everything, depending on when you shut it off. And sometimes consumers don't realize they've been a victim of identity theft until months later.
This comes to a very important point of self-protection, namely the various outfits that supposedly offer protection. I called you recently because I had lost some material that I thought might might have my credit card number on it. It was just a matter of some loss that I went through. And you advised me to get to buy a credit card or, more broadly, identity protection with that one outfit. What's it called?
Well, I didn't recommend it. I said you could take a look at that and see if it's agreeable for you. I don't remember the specific name that I gave you.
There's two or three of them.
There's two or three of them. One of them has been sued by the Attorney General, one of the big ones.
Which one?
It was
LifeLock.
LifeLock.
We sued them as well.
Oh, that's
the Federal Trade Commission.
That's great to know because that's the one I signed up with. What's wrong with LifeLock?
Well, we had LifeLock is still in business, but the president, for example, was claiming that he was giving out a Social Security number on the thing, and that
he had it on the side of trucks. I remember it.
Well, he had been the victim of identity theft two or three times as a result of doing that too. So there was no way he could prevent identity theft. All he was able to do was monitor it and maybe help you catch it if you are an identity theft victim. But the claims we were concerned about is he could completely prevent identity theft from happening to you. That was really not possible. And we also, of course, thought that that there was holes in this thing big enough you drive a truck through. And so it didn't work. We thought it was overpriced as well. For
you sued them?
Yes.
To what end? Requiring what of them? And how has the suit worked out?
We and the Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan sued them jointly. They're now subject to an injunction prohibiting them from claiming that they can prevent identity theft or from overstating what kind of protection they can really give. They also paid some money to go back to consumers. It was several million dollars, but I don't remember off the top of my head how much.
Well, I paid an annual. This is really interesting, particularly to discover that I've been victimized on air as we're talking. But I paid an annual fee. It's not a vast amount of money. It might have been $100 and some dollars.
But they do a monitoring service. They're not. They're still in business, and they're still a somewhat of a legitimate business to some people, depending on whether you believe in them or not. You can do a lot of this stuff yourself and monitor your own credit reports as well on your annual basis.
Are there other firms that...
There are several firms, national and local, that actually have this type of service as well. It's like an insurance policy in essence, and depending on who's behind the insurance company or the company itself determines whether or not you want to do business with them. But they do provide a service. I'm not saying they're downright right frauds, but those are services that you can get at a reduced price from others or do it yourself.
Are there companies you recommend or are you not allowed to do
that? We're not allowed to recommend or approve any product or service, but you do go to our website and get the listing of the organization. We have almost 4 million businesses in the U.S. and Canada that are listed with us, and we grade them from A+ to F. So it's used as a tool to decide whether or not to do business with them.
I want to get into another category, an old-fashioned category. Businesses who exist and who sell things to people, sell services or sell goods, big stores, for example, who actually don't follow through to provide decent service, whether with regard to repairs or regard to meeting guarantees or generally to leave the customer contented over the long or the middle haul. What comes to mind?
Well, the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act, federal act, governs warranties and makes sure that people have to stand by those warranties. And we don't get a huge number of complaints about people that don't honor their warranties. What we do have, this is slightly off topic, but it's still interesting, that we get calls all the time from people that think there's a federal law that requires people that make products to have replacement parts available for 7 years. I've gotten calls from congressional officers who insist that this toaster that they're supposed to have replacement parts available, and there is no such law. But warranties we don't have a huge problem with, I don't think. We don't get very many complaints about. Poor customer service is, of course, something that comes to the attention of the Better Business Bureau with some frequency, I think.
Lots of frequency. It's actually consumers believe most instances that customer service does not exist anymore. And businesses really don't realize how much business they are losing because of poor customer service.
What sorts of businesses particularly?
A lot of it's retail. Most of it's retail or internet-based where you don't deal with a person. You're dealing with an email.
For what kinds of products?
Any type of products. Whether it be department stores, whether it be any type of product that you're ordering off the internet, whether it be a spa service, it doesn't matter. It's the front-end employees who are running the business for the business people, and that's the only people they deal with. And sometimes those are the last people they deal with because you only have one chance to make a lasting impression on that consumer. And if you make the wrong impression, that consumer will never come back. And it happens all the time. And businesses sit back and say, why is nobody coming into my showroom? Why is nobody buying my products anymore? Because consumers have given up on that particular company.
Here's some small stuff for you, but it's not unusual, I would say. A woman that we know was telling us not too long ago at some reception that she uses hairspray. You can no longer get a hairspray, which really works in terms of the button you push, which pushes the spray out. That she's bought four or five in a row of two or three different brands, and within the first one or two uses, the little gizmo at the top that's supposed to dispense the spray fails and just doesn't do its job. She's looked at the cartons, or rather the whatever they are, you know, they're metal containers, and they usually turn out to be, quote, made in China. American firms are supposedly, one of them a French firm, but if you look closely, made, fabricated in China. And she says it's no longer possible to get a hairspray which really sprays.
Well, we heard that, not specifically on that, but I heard a lot of time problems with products exactly like that. Consumers need to look at that label and get the company's phone number or the website that most organizations have on there and call them up or send them an email. Most organizations are legitimate and want to take care of their customers. They may have an issue or problem.
She's going back to the store where she's bought all of these. It's a store that specializes in products of that sort, I gather, and it's a chain around Chicago. I know its name, but I won't say it at the moment. But she was going on and on about this. I think, in fact, she had heard you on the program one night, perhaps half a year ago, and maybe that's what brought the whole thing up in idle conversation at this little reception. But the store says, we have no responsibility. You have to call the company.
You could call the manufacturer of the product, and that's actually the most important thing. Consumers don't think of calling the manufacturer of the product. They just deal with the store.
But doesn't the store really have some responsibility?
Well, they probably do, and they've got some incentives to make sure their customers are happy, and of course the manufacturer's got some too. We're talking now about companies, of course, that are compete with other companies. They depend on repeat business, gives them huge incentives to treat people right. Unfortunately, what happens more and more is that with automated phone trees, people cannot get through to the store or manufacturer to complain. And I have been surprised, very surprised, at cases we've brought against major national retailers who have no idea how many complaints are sitting in their own files. We had a case against New Balance running shoes some years ago for a Made in the USA campaign they were doing, and they insisted that they had very few complaints. Well, it turned out that they had hundreds of complaints that whoever their customer service people were logging these, but nobody ever told the managers or nobody asked these people, what are our customers complaining about? Now, this would have been important feedback for the managers to know what their own customers were telling them. And they need the customer service to do that. But unfortunately, what Steve Burness has told me, people are cutting back costs. It's expensive to hire live people to answer phones. So they're doing phone trees, so they're not getting the data, and it's driving more people to Steve Burness.
And then there is the great category of automobile repair, which we're going to get into, if you are willing, in just a few moments after we pause for a round of commercials. But it's also time to announce that we're opening the phone lines at this instant, and we'll be going to the phones for any questions you've got about how you get consumer justice if injustice has been worked upon you, or what you ought to be looking at and what you ought to be distrusting with regard to offers you have encountered but which you have not yet availed yourself of. For any and all such queries, anything relating to the matters that are of interest from to the two leading guys, one at the Better Business Bureau, the other at the Federal Trade Commission, the phone number 312-591-7200. You can get your calls in now. We'll be on to you shortly after the news break coming at the hour. 312-591-7200 and on to auto repair and related afflictions after we pause for this.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
Steve Bernas, every year or so with you and even with your predecessors going way back 20 or 30 years, we've done programs like this, and or with people in one or another consumer justice office, particularly not only Federal Trade Commission, but the Attorney General's office. And when I routinely ask the question, what are the leading complaints you get, usually a car repair is first or second on the list.
Yeah, I started in automotive repair and handling complaints at the BBB 25 years ago, so I have a lot of experience with that. Consumers just don't do their homework on these organizations. They believe because they have a legitimate business that they're good, but really consumers need to check them out ahead of time. And people don't do their due diligence because they need the car tomorrow. They have to get to work. They don't have a chance, the choice to go down the street. The best
you don't
thing,
do comparison shopping.
You don't, but you need to find a mechanic ahead of time. That's the most important thing. Ask around now before your car breaks, not when your car breaks down. Find the best transmission place. Find the best repair mechanic in your neighborhood.
How do you find the most honest?
Well, obviously, you can go to the Better Business Bureau and get a list of trusted businesses that meet our standards. We tell you within 5 miles of your house who's accredited by us and who's not and what their grades are. But you can also ask your friends, your neighbors, your church, whatever it may be that people have experience. But don't do it the day of, because that's when you're stuck in a pickle because you need it done because you need to get to work tomorrow.
When the basketball team at the college I went to 1,000 years ago, Brooklyn College, was arrested and discovered to have been engaged in point-shaving fraud, beginning of a great scandal in New York City, one guy turned out to have resisted, and so he became the captain of the remaining team, and he was known from that moment on as Honest John Rosenblum. You have a list of honest jobs.
We have a list of honest businesses because most businesses want to do the right thing. There's some bad actors in every industry. I don't care what you say, and Steve Baker will attest to this, is that automobile or waterproofing, whatever it is, you have bad actors that ruin it for everybody else.
One of the virtues of the Better Business Bureau is it allows you to differentiate. I mean, the businesses pay to fund the Better Business Bureau to let you separate the honest people from the crooks, because for a legitimate business, you want the dishonest competitors to get rid of. So if you can pull up any company, whether they're a Better Business Bureau member or not, and they give them a letter grade, A through F, and those are valuable information. It takes a couple clicks to do it, and you know anything, you can check it out in advance. So we're huge supporters of the bureaus.
One of the worst phone messages you could ever get, you brought your car in, you've got two or three things that need work, you've told them, the phone call comes, and the caller says, well, I got bad news for you. And it turns out that he's found a great defect which you never suspected, and it's just going to cost $3,500 to repair it.
Well, you got to trust the individual. Hopefully, obviously, you should go there and check it out as well, but you have to trust the shop you brought your car to.
Suppose you just don't at that point. What do you do?
Well, most people will just pay for it because they need their car, and that's unfortunate because they don't do their homework as well, and people are getting taken by that all the time. So you really got to check out the offers, and if you feel you've been duped, to file a complaint with the FTC, with the Better Business Bureau and others, so there's a mark against that organization.
Well, minimally, you could say, well, I'll come and get the car. I'm going to take it and get a second opinion. And very often the response you'll get is, I'm not sure it's going to hold up for much longer than this afternoon. Depends how far you're going to drive it. Which is a way of intimidating you and saying, all right, you yield and say, go ahead and do the repair.
There's scare tactics, the brakes, or gas leaking. We had one recently with gas that you might blow up your garage because of the gas leaking of it. So you really got to understand.
Did you look into that one?
Yeah, we did look into that one. We got it taken care of for that consumer.
What did you discover?
Well, discovered that they did have a small gas leak. The company was actually true and honest. And they did have a gas leak. They had a third party come out and another mechanic they brought out with them and determined that there was a gas leak that wasn't brought upon them. So, but sometimes they're scare tactics. So if you've been, you know, lied to or scared before, it's usually how they, you know, the trick.
Well, that home repair fraud is used by the travelers. A common thing is to get the old couple and to tell them they're coming in to do a free evaluation of their heating system.
Of course.
You tell them it's about to explode.
Right.
It could destroy
carbon
your
carbon monoxide poison. That's a big one where they, you might kill everybody. And then the carbon monoxide might come out of your house and go to your neighbor's house and get them too as well. Air duct cleaning, same thing. Scare tactics. A lot of these bad organizations are using scare tactics to get you to spend. And people do it because the air duct cleaning, they in the paper, it's $29 to clean your ducts. And then people end up spending thousands of dollars because they don't want the mold in their house. They don't want their neighbors to get sick or anything. It's amazing the amount of scare tactics as we have seen, and how many air duct cleaning companies have been sued. And what happens is that their employees start up another organization, and it continues on and continues. It's a national problem.
Was there ever a time in a more idealized earlier America where most people who rendered service and sold goods and sold services were essentially honest?
I don't know. There's always been crime and fraud. I mean, there's always been liars as long as there's been human beings, I'm afraid. Hopefully there's also always been honest people as well. I think it was maybe harder in small towns when people knew people and that people had reputations. Mm-hmm. And if you ripped somebody off, you broke a contract, everybody knew it, and that reputation was going to done. With mass market stuff, the first with the U.S. mails, when we first started having the U.S. mail, you had some of the first frauds and scams because you could rip somebody off at a long distance and drastically reduce the risk of getting caught. And, of course, with other technologies that have come along since then, it's very easy to reach out and touch somebody or touch their wallet.
Well, that leads you to an interesting special area, Internet buying. There are many ways to buy on the Internet. Lots of companies, of course, will sell on the Internet as well as in their stores. But then you've got I've never availed myself of what's that major service? That
Amazon?
No.
eBay, the eBay sites?
eBay, exactly. Right. I've never availed myself of any kind of eBay thing. Don't even know how to use it. Is it trustworthy?
The eBay is okay. I mean, that's an organization that's been around for a while, and they have some safeguards and protection in place. It's the ones that look alike eBay or get you off of eBay and go to another site.
Oh, there are others.
Right. So if you lose the bid, then they actually send you to another site, or you wanted to buy something, you didn't get it. They said, well, we have it for you. So come to our site and get that information. So
do they get access to you? How do they know that you've been bidding on that?
Well, either you've been through spam or malware that's on your computer, they can tell your keystrokes, or that that it's public information on some of those websites who purchased it and emails attached to it. So, unfortunately, you got to be very careful, especially on the online world, because you don't know who you're dealing with. It could be somebody in a third world country somewhere.
My shopping on the Internet, the stay on the Internet superhighway, stay out of the dark alleys. I think that's the simple way. Deal with trusted people you know about. Look for the BBB seals that are on websites of some of the bigger companies. And, you know, of course, be very careful on buying things online overseas. One of the big problems we have right now, there's a lot of people that are looking. UGG boots, for example, are extremely popular, very fashionable, not cheap. People are looking on the website, Googling, looking for UGG boots. There are people that sell them. They're in China. And people either get nothing or they get cheap counterfeit knockoffs and they lose their money. Believe it or not, we get hundreds and hundreds of complaints about fake UGG boots. So know who you're dealing with. Learn to shop a little bit. And if you use your credit card, you've got the right to charge back. And so that's a major protection. Never send money Western Union or MoneyGram. Never, 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 never. Because once that money's gone, you ain't ever going to see it again. And that's payment method of choice by your crooks.
I often worry about just providing my email, providing my credit card number, because that might lead to some sort of
Well, you do have protection. There is some chance of doing that, but you do have some protection, a lot of protection with your credit card purchases.
So you can call the credit card.
Right, you get it stopped in reverse, and usually it's zero liability in those instances, but it ends up, you never know. You can end up in a third party somewhere and be used a year later. So you just got to trust who you're giving your credit card to, but that's your safest protection. Like Steve Baker said, you just don't send WireGram or MoneyGrams to anybody you don't know, especially in a foreign country. That's the tip-off to the rip-off, but it's done every day because they want to get around the skirt to laws on that issue, and once they get the money, it's gone.
What's happened to the great Nigerian letter scam?
It's slowed down, but it's still there. We still see it. They're still trolling for people, but it's not as much as before. They moved on to other scams and more high-tech scams because people are becoming more cognizant of these situations. They just move on to something else. There's always new twist on old scams, so these scams have been around for a long time.
I used to get that once or twice a month. My husband, General Antobonejo, was falsely convicted, but he has and has now been executed. I'm a poor widow, but $34 billion is in foreign assets, and we need somebody to in America to help deposit it in an American bank. And you have been recommended, and you can do it. You'll get 10 million of the 35 million.
Well, you're still here, so obviously you didn't fall for it. Otherwise, yeah.
Some people have fallen.
Some people have fallen
even
for it.
Even quite creditable people.
Exactly. They give their bank information out. That's all they feel they're giving out, and basically they're
incredible.
Stealing from their account.
Incredible.
It's incredible.
Well,
the Nigerians and West Africans have a whole lot of other new scams they have moved on to. One of them is what we call the sweetheart scam, where they have fake profiles on dating websites, and they...
Oh, my.
And this one actually turns out is all over the world. I had not realized that. But people build real trust with somebody they think is somebody else.
They romance them on the Internet.
And they romance them on the Internet, and they want a little bit of a gift or something to test them out.
Uh-huh.
And then after a while, they really want huge amounts of money. I mean, and it is really – it's devastating for people when they find out. There's been some studies done in the U.K.
Uh-huh.
on just how massive this is, which I can tell you about later.
We may hear from some such victims as we continue. We are about to pause for an update on the news, and then we'll go directly to the phones and to the email, 312-591-7200, for email wherever you are in the world, listening on the Internet, the email address, extension 720 at WGNradio.com. Now to the WGN newsroom and Paula Cooper.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
As I look at the calls we've got lined up, and we're going to them in an instant, all of them are either from people who've been scammed or suspect that they are being scammed. And we're going to get to them instantly on 312-591-7200. But it occurs to me, as well as the scam, there are the scammers. And if you are involved in scamming, since you can be totally anonymous, you can give us a false name or no name at all, but we'd love to hear from you. You may not be a master scammer. You may be somebody who's worked for one and discovered the racket that you were involved in. I would be delighted to hear from some such people in the audience. Get in there if you are at all available to talk about the way in which you have helped to scam others. 312-591-7200, and the first caller is Barbara. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Milt. Thank you. I received a letter, this was a few months ago, and at the top of the letter it says Tax Deed Stoppers, D-D-E-E-D, Stoppers. Then it has my name and address. And then it says, we are writing to offer you help in dealing with the real estate tax delinquency situation that you are currently facing. As you probably know, your property was sold at public auction in August 2009 by the Cook County Treasurer's Office to an investor called a tax buyer. Then it goes, the last date to save the property from loss to a tax deed will expire soon, at which point you will lose ownership and possession of your property. To avoid total loss and eviction, we are here to help you deal with this difficult situation. Then it goes on a website and a phone number. And I'm completely paid up with my taxes. So even though I knew that it was I was scared. I was scared that somehow maybe my real.
Sure,
my tax,
that's scary stuff, yeah.
Right, that it was lost maybe in the mail and they didn't receive it or. I didn't know what, you know, so I did look up my property tax number, and it said fully paid. But it still was very upsetting, even though...
I should think so. Gentlemen, is that one you've heard of?
I heard something similar like that, Barbara, but usually the scare taxes are the sign of something is wrong, where they try to, you know, mislead you in some way and try to get some information out of you. Mm-hmm. What I suggest is you file with our office as well, so we have a record of this organization, so we can build up a file on this organization. I'm not certain what their current report is, but that's something we'd like to look into.
Okay, I did think of you because I had heard you on the program before, but I didn't really know where to...
BBB.org is the best way to go. BBB.org, you can file a complaint 24/7 or call our office at 312-832-0500.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Thank
and
you.
For the warning. 312-591-7200, one line available for an instance. But if you hit the busy signal when you call, don't be discouraged. Just call again right after we say goodnight to a prior caller. And next up is Dean. Good evening, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. I really love this show today. And what happened was that, like, maybe about 10 months ago, I got this guy, a contractor. He's a granite worker. And I paid him $2,000 as a down payment, and he disappeared.
You paid him the $2,000 for what sort of job?
For an advance payment for the work he was going to do.
Which was to be what?
Which was, you know, remodeling of my kitchen and bathroom countertops. But
and
now, here is the situation. The thing is that I just didn't pick him out. You know, he was referred to two of my friends. He did two good work, two good jobs at their houses. And, of course, you know, I didn't have to even think twice to hire him, you know.
So you hired him, you gave him $2,000 in advance, and he disappeared. Have you tried to call his office or otherwise check him out?
Now, see, the thing is that the contract he signed up with me, he never gave me his address or his workplace, nothing, you know. And I didn't even take a look at the contract until he disappeared. He came to my house, took some measurements a couple of times, and now I also contacted the Better Business Bureau, office of Lisa Madigan, and I have his phone numbers and everything. I don't have his address, the office address or his home address, you know.
Well, that's pretty easy, I should think. Let's turn to Steve Burns.
No, but someone from the office contacted me back.
Yeah.
But they said that we cannot do anything about it. I had his email.
All right, hold on a minute. Steve Burness wants to make a response to
you. Well, we hear that all the time, Dean. Unfortunately, you didn't check out the company ahead of time. Obviously, you're just relying on your friends. But if you don't have information on where their whereabouts are, it's really going to be hard for any agency to find them unless we have some information we can track them, whether it be, you know, what we suggest also is to take down their license plate number when they come to your house so in case you need some information on this organization or whoever came to your house. But you really need to do some homework ahead of time, make sure there's a phone number, and actually go visit the organization, make sure that they are where they are, because so many times they put an address down of a restaurant or even a fake address as well. So unfortunately, if you don't have the address, I mean, you don't know who the person is, there's really no way to find it, and it happens every day.
But what about the phone numbers? Couldn't someone track him down with like from the phone numbers, getting something from the phone companies?
Well, sometimes it's those cellular phone calls where they just buy the phones at a store, you know, just on minute-by-minute basis as well, and those are usually not traceable in any way, shape, or form.
No, I had his home phone number.
Well, you ought to check it out. I would suggest you call the police.
Oh, I did. They said it's your personal matter. We can't do anything about it.
I see.
All right,
hold on a minute.
Don't have the ability to trace companies, so you may want to call the Illinois Attorney General's office and have them do the investigation.
Well, you mentioned he's already contacted Lisa Madigan.
I did.
And he said the same thing?
Yeah, they said that, we cannot do anything
Steve,
based on the phone
hold
number.
Hold on a minute, sir. Steve Baker, can you do something
for him? The
only
thing I know that deals with these sorts of things is the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. I know it prosecutes people for home repair fraud, too.
All right.
And if you haven't complained to them, you might try that.
Cook County State's Attorney's Office. The man is aggrieved, and we're not going to be able to reduce his anxiety or his anger, but I hope he follows through on that. We go next to Dan, who's on WGN Radio. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
All right.
You know what? I've got two stories on extended warranties that you guys are speaking about, and I just want to see if these are common occurrences. I had purchased a living room set with an extended warranty and an extendable damage coverage, and I purchased a laptop with the same accidental coverage. And funny thing is, I made a claim on my furniture, and a month later I had to make a claim on my laptop, and both warranty companies gave me the exact same excuse for why we weren't covered. And basically they both told us they don't have anything on file for us. They don't have our address. They don't have our phone number. We have never purchased any of the warranties. And I used both. I made both claims with the warranty companies in the past. So I had to go through a whole runaround of over a month of faxing the original receipts to them to prove that I had purchased these things. But why did they do that?
Steve Baker, that's right up your alley, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I imagine these are I hope you complained about it, because we do need complaints on these sorts of things to do it. For different products, sometimes these extended warranty companies are not wholly on the up and up. I'll talk about automobiles in a little bit, too. As a general proposition, Consumer Reports, and I believe we recommend that people not purchase extended warranties for any products. For the most part, they're not a good deal. And obviously, you've had problems with yours. Sometimes the people that are offering the warranties are not terribly reputable. So do complain. You can complain to the FTC at 877-FTC-HELP, okay, or get a live or online at FTC.gov. A lot of I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, so
I was just going to say, both of these companies are very reputable companies, very large companies, all throughout the, they're located all over.
But you're talking about...
get the issues resolved.
But you're talking about the company you purchased the products from, or the extended warranty company?
The company I purchased the products from, but the warranty companies are, can I say the companies?
Go ahead.
All right, I bought the laptop from Office Max, and the warranty company was Office Max Assurance.
Well, then I would absolutely be complaining about it. I mean, and it's also useful to know what extended warranties are. Extended auto warranties for automobiles, for example, are not really extended warranties, because they're not extension of your original warranty. They're a service contract, and often they got huge holes and exclusions. They're grossly overpriced, and we've all gotten postcards in the mail claiming our warranty is about to expire. But those particularly, you've got to pay special care with.
Yeah, I mean, I did get both issues resolved, very favorable to me, but it's just the point that they made you do this runaround for a month before they would settle the claim with you.
Well, I'm glad you were persistent.
And we thank you, sir, for the call. I fear I must be cruel to be kind. When people are aggrieved, they don't let go very easily when they're on the phone.
Exactly.
Because all the tensions that have built up over a long time can finally be vented. But I would have extreme tension if we didn't get to the commercials. Here they are.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
Our guest tonight, as we continue, are Stephen Baker, director of the Federal Trade Commission Midwest Regional Office, and Stephen Bernas, president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau for Chicago and Northern Illinois. Our phone number, 312-591-7200. Our email, extension720@wgnradio.com. I would love to hear from some of our overseas listeners as to whether they run into similar problems at a similar frequency in their own home countries. 312-591-7200. And next up is Alberta. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Do I have anything to worry about from Fannie Mae? I applied for a home loan, and they have so much information on me, and I never hear from them. And they also have a lock on their door. I wonder if you have had any complaints.
Well, they're in some trouble as a corporation.
Well, this is a Chicago address that I applied to.
Steve Baker.
And I know they're in trouble, yeah.
Well, the first thing I would do is check them out at BBB.org and see what you got on them. And then second, the Illinois Attorney General's office has got a homeowner help hotline, number of which I do not have committed to memory. But that will get you a live person if you're having trouble with your financing or you're afraid that you've been scammed. That's absolutely where I would start.
You said there's a lock on the door, Alberta?
Yeah, they keep the door locked. You have to be buzzed in.
Oh, but they're still there. So that's at least they're still there. That's a good sign as well. When you give a lot of information to organizations, you got to trust who you're giving it to. And obviously, I don't know this particular Chicago office, whether or not what the report is currently. Like Steve said, you can go to bb.org, but you just got to trust the people you have and monitor your credit report and see if you've been victimized by identity theft. Sometimes you don't know, and you can't prevent it.
Well, they have my mortgage right now, and that's why I went to them. I mean, I'm through another company, but it's a Fannie Mae loan.
I go to the Attorney General's office. I'd call the hotline. I wouldn't even mess around with it and see if they can
but
help you.
But you've never had any complaints on it?
Well, there's all sorts of mortgage frauds out there, and people to help you rescue from you. If you're in doubt, check it out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am, for the call, and good luck on that. And we go next to Bob. Good evening, sir. You're on the air.
Good evening. You talk about how a lot of these guys hide in the shadows, but there's one guy in particular who sells books, the Kevin Trudeau, and he's been sued by the FTC at least once.
Yes, he surely has, more like three times.
Okay, well, guess who I saw on TV this morning hawking books? How is he able to be so out there in front and get away with it?
Steve, review that for us. Who is Kevin Trudeau? What does he peddle?
Kevin Trudeau is the king of the late-night infomercials, these half-hour TV commercials. My office first sued Kevin in 10 or 12 years ago.
You sued him for what?
Well, he had several programs that he was operating that we said were total frauds. One was the Mega Memory program, which would supposedly permit you to remember anything instantly. I think he sold millions and millions of dollars of these kits. He claimed, for example, in the program, this had been used by the Oklahoma School for the Blind and increased kids' grades from D's to A's. We talked to the Oklahoma School of the Blind. They never heard of him. They never heard of the program. And so he sells a lot of things on late night TV. There is a federal court that has an injunction against him, and we have sued him a couple times for violating that injunction. Federal court judges have held him here in contempt. There's a big money judgment against him. He is prohibited from continuing to make false claims. And I think one of the judges here tried to ban him from being on infomercials at all. And I think the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals reversed, said you can't, you know, there's certain free speech rights. But we have a very low opinion of Kevin. He's a former convicted felon anyway. And
convicted for what in the past?
Credit card fraud. Spent some time in jail many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of stuff on him. But a lot of people find him very believable. He sells a lot of books. We have seen him selling lots of stuff with no support whatsoever. And obviously, we got not much use for him.
I really think when the TV stations take the money from these people and then they have to get their license renewed every 7 years or so, somehow that ought to be accountable is all I'm saying.
Well, we hear that all the time. This is Steve Burness here. We hear that all the time. Kevin Trudeau was in our area at one point. He moved to Ohio now, I believe. So he's left area. I don't know what his current report out in Ohio is. I think he hit unsatisfactory when he was here as well. But again, the separation of advertising and editorial, either newspapers or radio stations or TV stations, that's what they bank on, is that the advertising doesn't check with editorial and nobody looks at what anybody else is doing. And that's unfortunately what happens, because when it appears on stations, the stations should be culpable in some degree.
Okay.
That's terrible. Thank you, sir, for the call. It's very valuable information. Stay away from Kevin Trudeau. By the way, you might also be warned with regard to, I'm going to surprise you with this, with regard to faith-healing preachers on television. Maybe some of them believe what they're doing. Some of them are absolute frauds. My good friend, a few good friends of mine, but most particularly the amazing Randy, James Randy, the famous magician, who also investigates psychic fraud, worked a great investigation on a reverend, so-called, never in fact ordained as a reverend anyplace, Peter Popoff, who does miracle cures on the air, and he knows everything about you, hits you in the audience, and he knows your name, he knows what your disease is, he knows who your doctor is, and so on. That's material that's all been collected in advance during the hours before they start the TV cameras going. And then it's fed into his ear. This was demonstrated. He was caught nakedly with all of this, fed into his ear. Though he does miracle cures, it looks as if he's got a hearing defect. And he wears a little thing in his ear, and his wife is transmitting to him, giving him all the information about who these people are. He was shown up. He was knocked off the air for 3 or 4 months. He went back on the air. He's there right now. He buys his own time, of course, and calls always for contributions for miracle cures. He'll send you a fragment of the cross, or he'll send you the miracle cloth, and if you put it on your head, that will help cure you. And if you send him your requests, he'll pray for you. And what that does, of course, when that sheet is worked by him and by various others, it sends thousands of people to an earlier death than would otherwise be the case. They see that as an alternative to medicine. Miracle cures. It's horrible. It's vile. And yet it is practiced routinely, and broadcasters who sell the time know about it. They must know about it unless they're totally naive, but they go along with it. Are you aware of that kind of stuff?
Not that particular one at all, but I heard of many
frauds
out there.
It's a famous case. Peter Popoff is a famous case.
I haven't heard that particular case as well, but there's a lot of frauds with that over the years.
What do you do when you encounter that?
Well, sometimes we ask them to call the police department itself, the jurisdiction they're in as well, and obviously get away from and contact the authorities, the Federal Trade Commission, Attorney General's office. That's beyond our purview, and BBB's office as well. But
agencies of various kinds are rather reluctant to pursue this because it's religion, after all. Though it's false religion, it's pseudo-religion.
Well, no, these are difficult ones. We did sue one who was, oh, God, who was the psychic on TV a few years ago that was with the Jamaican accent?
That woman, yes.
Yeah, Miss Cleo. Yeah, we sued Miss Cleo. If she was really such a good psychic, shouldn't she have known we were going to sue her?
No.
I mean, you'd think she would have seen it coming.
What happened to you in your suit?
Well, for example, what they did in that particular case was call people, get them to make long-distance calls, paper-minute calls to talk to the psychic, and then keep people on the phone just as long as they could, and people would bring up hundreds of dollars in telephone bills in order to talk to the psychics. And they had all sorts of psychic assistants that were working out of their houses that were supposedly – it was totally fraud.
There are so many dreadful hustles. Is there no honesty left in the world?
Well, fortunately, there is a lot. One of the bad things about these is they erode our trust. The reason these scams work is they get our trust.
Yeah.
You know, we use our own experience. Somebody sounds believable. We all think we should be able to tell when somebody's lying to us. The reality is these guys, they're good at it. They're con man is short for confidence man. They're good at getting your confidence. That's what they do. Sounds like your pop-off guy is the same way. And unfortunately, it erodes that trust. And once people repose that trust and get burned a few times, I'm afraid it makes the world a poorer place.
Are there any clients of the Reverend Peter Popoff or other such faith-healing frauds listening? If so, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you've worked for one of those guys, I'd love to hear from you. 312-591-7200. By the way, I don't mean thereby to denounce those who sincerely believe as devout, probably fundamental or evangelical Christians, that faith cure is possible. There are surely those as well. I don't think it really works that well, faith cure, that is. Those probably some listeners could testify that it does. But there's a difference between those who really believe what they're putting forth publicly and those who are doing it cynically, purely as a matter of fraud. And religion has always been an area in which the Elmer Gantries of the world find pretty high payoff if they know how to play the game. We will return directly after an update on the news from Paula Cooper.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
This is, of course, tonight, as is always is when we cover this topic with these people. It's a night when everyone's crowding in to try to call, and we can't service all those who are not even getting through because they're hitting the busy signal. So, gentlemen, please give your phone numbers and emails for reference to all who are listening.
Federal Trade Commission 877-FTC-HELP will get you there, or go to FTC.gov and you can complain online.
FTC.gov.
G-O-V.
Better Business Bureau is BBB.org is our website, and our phone number in Chicago, Northern Illinois, is 312-832-0500.
And with that, we'll go back to the phones at 312-591-7200. Dwayne is next. Good evening.
Hi, Milt. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. My question is, how long, if a person is scammed from the construction company that person called the first time, how long can you go after that person for loss of payment for scamming you? And second, I've been receiving calls from a jail in Florida, and he says his name is David, but I know my brother is David, but he's not in jail. And is there a scam considering jail cells or people?
Well, you're getting a call. What is the caller saying?
They're just saying they want to charge me. They wanted me to collect the call, saying that, you know, you got a call from, and then it says the name, and then saying that to accept his call, please do whatever. And I know it is. I know that it's not who I know it is, because first of all, my brother is not in jail. Second of all, I don't know I looked up on the internet where the where this call is from, and it's the same number. And I was just wondering if there's a scam concerning jail cells.
Do they tell you when they call that it's your brother David who's in jail?
No, it just says you got a call from, and then this person says, you know, says their name, David.
I see. The rest is recorded. Okay, let's get a response.
Well, this is a bit of a new one on me. It's certainly something that's worth complaining about. You should not be accepting collect calls from people you don't know. There is a grandparent scam where people call and impersonate, pretend to be a relative who's in trouble and needs money, but I've not heard of them using the collect call gambit before. So I don't know what to tell you except if it's don't accept the collect calls. That's, I suppose, easy enough to do. Is the first part of your question on how long for the contractor. I'm not sure what the statute of limitations is in the state of Illinois, but probably 7 years. That's pretty standard.
Well, this happened in Missouri. It was my father who gave a contractor, I believe it was $15,000 to build a house on his property, and the other half was supposed to be done, paid after he was done, but he never got started, and he had me look on the internet of this person, and I looked on there, and there was like, I want to say 20 to 25, maybe 30 people with the same name, and about 10 to 15 of them were in Missouri. And we tried going to a lawyer, and the lawyer, I don't know what happened to that, but the matter of fact, I don't think we ever, and this guy had a, this is what my dad told me, that he had a, something in the phone book. That's where he found them, in the phone book, and it was a scam in that way.
Well, all I can, if it's in Missouri, you can try the Missouri Attorney General's office. I'm sure they would try to help you. And, of course, the Better Business Bureau has an office down there. But not much more we can do with you here on the phone right now. I'm sorry.
And we thank you, sir, for the call. We must move quickly, time being very short. 312-591-7200. Next up is Eric. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening. I have three complaints with ComEd. One of them was solved by the BBB, by the way, with good results. The first complaint is if you move into a new place, ComEd counts on you not reading the meter when you have the electricity switched into your name. So my suggestion is to take a picture of the meter reading as soon as you get the electric in your name, because what they did to me is they charged me like double of what I should be charged for this electricity. And I know because I moved from an apartment to a new apartment that was almost an exact duplicate on the same block. I know how much electricity I should be using. So the first bill came like 5 months after I moved in, and the electricity was like for double. So I'm still trying to fight that. The second scam that was solved by the BBB is I sent in a money order, but I didn't put my account number on it. And of course, there's no header on the. It's not like a personal check. So what happened is the money order was cashed by someone. I don't know if it was intercepted in the mail or who did, because ComEd still didn't tell me. But I used the BBB to show them that that's not my ComEd account number. And so it took a whole year for me. It wasn't the BBB's fault. It's just that ComEd kept appealing it and kept going with the BBB where they keep responding. And finally they gave in because they could not present the evidence, and I got my $60 back. And then the third complaint was that ComEd will charge you a deposit if you start electricity from scratch. And nobody has explained that to me. I've sent like two letters certified to them. I've talked to them like 3 to 4 times on the phone. I can't get any answers.
Okay, sir. Well, I think we get the picture. Let's get a response.
Well, obviously, ComEd is accredited by the BBB, so they will handle any complaints brought to their attention. So even if you feel something's wrong or if you feel they're not doing it proper on their policies, you can file a complaint with us, and we'll look into the matter and get a response from them. And if we have enough complaints on that particular practice, We will ask ComEd to correct their practices or not become accredited by the BBB as well. So we have to look into the matter. I can't specifically say that. I don't know ComEd's policies right in front of me, but we will look into the matter if you go to BBB.org.
And we thank you for the call, sir. We're going to the next caller. Pat is on the air. Good evening.
Hello. I have an adult son who is a schizophrenic patient living out on his own. And from time to time, he makes silly large purchases. And this one time, he was touring a motorcycle shop and got invited to sign up for a $7,000 Honda motorcycle, which he did. And I was horrified when I found out about it at the end of the day and went to the retail store and explained the situation that he's on heavy psychotic medicines and is not a good candidate to ride a motorcycle. And they said, well, really, the purchase was complete and there was nothing they could do but for me to contact Honda, which I did do out in California. And they said, well, there's nothing they could do because the credit had been approved by GE Money Bank. So I contacted GE Money Bank, and they said, well, he has excellent credit, when in fact he's never held a job, a full-time job of any sort, and he has a tendency to overwrite his checking account. So it went on for a struggle. They got my phone number, and GE Money Bank's tactic was to call me every 30 minutes every day until I would come up with the money. And I brought the matter to the Better Business Bureau and the Attorney General and so forth and really didn't get anywhere. And it was driving me crazy. So for peace of mind, we sold off the motorcycle for pennies on the dollar, and I used whatever money I had for educational courses for him to pay off the balance.
Well, that's a terrible story. How much money did you lose on it?
Well, the motorcycle was $7,000, and we got like $2,000 for it, really. It was brand new. I mean, that's all we could get.
You were failed by somebody. It seems to me that...
Well, yeah, the system, I'm in Alabama, and maybe that's not the best place to be for these sort of things.
Are you calling from there right now?
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, your response.
Boy, I would sure go to the Better Business Bureau on that. I mean, I
but he said he did.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you did the right thing. Beyond that, I mean, the only question is whether your son is legally capable of entering contracts, and if he isn't, then, I mean, you might have been able to go back and get a lawyer and do something about it and get out of the contract. If he is capable enough, I mean, if you're worried about him doing some of these things down the road, you might have to think about whether he should be somebody who...
Did you, sir, seek a letter from an involved psychiatrist testifying?
Yes, the psychiatrist sent the letter as well.
Saying what?
Well, saying that he was, schizophrenic and really not capable of making major purchases.
Do you have power of attorney over your son at all?
No, I don't.
That might be something you might look at. I guess Steve Baker was mentioning is getting an attorney involved in this matter for future. Because if he's of legal age, he's capable of signing a contract. And depending on the laws of your state you're in, I'm not a lawyer either, but depending on the laws of the state where the deal was consummated, they would apply on that situation as well. But I would talk to a private attorney at this point and ask for power of attorney over your son.
Yeah, I tried to get that, but his mother, we're divorced now, but his mother keeps on thinking that eventually he'll come to his senses, but that's never going to happen.
Right. No, I feel for you. My best friend's got a schizophrenic son of about the same age, and it's a difficult burden to bear. I feel for you.
One thing I'm wondering, and I put this directly to Steve Burness, should he register a complaint with the Better Business Bureau in the area where this motorcycle firm is located?
It appears he filed the complaint. I'm not sure. Where did you file, Pat?
I filed it against the retail firm that sold the bike in the first place.
And what did the Better Business Bureau say about that?
Well, they just said the claim has been registered. Now, since then, the firm's gone out of business and been taken over by somebody else. I don't know if they had other claims or not.
Well, usually the Bureau gets back in contact with you what the results of the complaints are. Maybe the company was sold and that fell through the cracks on that point. But I'd go back to the BBB. And you said you went to the Attorney General down there, too. What did they say, the Attorney General?
He said, well, he's no longer here as well. He said it was just a case of he said, she said, you know, that there wasn't really any objective evidence to go by. Well, I had all these letters from the psychiatrist.
Yeah.
I think a private attorney in this matter is probably the only thing you could do at this particular point.
I think you ought to sue for restitution of that money. I really do.
Yeah.
And a private attorney would be your
walk you through that
your
process.
Expedient at right. the moment.
And get power of attorney and hopefully help your ex-wife work on that with you, because future purchases would be of a great concern to you as well.
If the successor firm has legal liability for its predecessor, then I think they are your target. And in fact, I would sue not merely for restitution of the $5,000, but for all the anguish and all the attention and all the annoyance that they gave you. I think there are punitive damages that are conceivable as well.
Coincidentally, this came at a time right before the big financial blow-up in 2008.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote the president of GE saying, if this is the kind of loan you're giving out, I predict you're going to have a lot of trouble in the next couple years.
Huh.
And it came about.
Well, I don't think you're done with this one yet. If I were you, I would pursue it further. I thank you, sir, for the call.
Yes. Thank you, sir.
And I'm really quite distressed with the whole story.
It appears to be, and it's going to continue on if he doesn't take some type of action, you know, and hopefully the power of attorney will stop his son from conducting deals like that. Mm-hmm. I'm not certain what state it happened in, but there's laws in different states, and we're not, you know, I'm not up to speed on that.
We are late for a last round of commercials. Here they are.
Extension 720 with Milt Rosenberg on 720 WGN.
And quickly back to the phones to render what service we can in the available time still left. And next up is John. You're on the air, sir. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I just had a couple things. I had called that Peter Popoff and was kind of giving him a hard time on the phone about how they were ripping off people, and they sent me little vials in the mail of holy water to save me.
Yeah.
Twice.
When was this? How long ago?
Oh, I got one not more than 6 months ago, and I probably called them a year or two ago.
Uh-huh.
It's been a while. And then there's a clinic down in Houston that supposedly has a cure for cancer that I believe is Brzezinski. Have you heard anything on this one?
This doesn't ring a bell, though. I unfortunately, there are some very bogus cancer clinics, and we've sued some of them in the past. I mean, I don't know about this one, so I check it out with the Better Business Bureau, obviously. But people have to be aware, and the ones we've sued, I mean, they've taken advantage of people in really desperate circumstances. And
well, that's what he does. And the worst part is, if you get online, he's bought up all the websites, which I think confuses a lot of people because, you know, they can put anything online, and they can have, you know, with their keywords, they can direct you to the site they want to direct you to and have false claims of how good they are. So it's real hard to research it any other way through any other other than the BBB.
Good point.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's just, don't, you know, buyer beware out there. Obviously, you got to do your own research, and the internet has the ability to check what others have said in the past with the blogs and everything like that. So what we suggest is put in the company's name, religious name, or whatever you want, and put the word scam next to it and see what pops up on your Google.
Yep.
And that usually will search, you know, blogs and all that and see what other people have said. And that's a good indication. That should be one of your steps in doing business with any organization or any charity or any religion.
Thank you for the call, sir. Quickly on to Daniel, who's reached us at WGN Radio. Good evening, sir.
Milt, good evening, and what a great topic you have tonight. Back to Kevin Trudeau. He was featured in Kentucky on the ABC channel yesterday, selected by his high school class as most likely to succeed.
Oh.
And interestingly enough, sells about $30 million worth of books a year. And the latest book is on how to get free money from the government. And followed by his infomercial was a product that I've seen advertised when I've been in Sarasota of a cactus derivative called Napolea, produced by a company called Trivita out of Scottsdale, and basically offers you a 32-ounce bottle of this health solution, and it's good for people that have inflammation. So I called there this morning, called Scottsdale, got a telemarketer on the phone, and once we got into it, I'd given him my American Express number. No sooner had I done that than they started a bait and switch of taking me from this free offer and me paying the shipping and handling under $10 to wanting to put the heat on me for over $300 and 10 bottles of this product. And I kept telling the fellow no. And, I mean, what part of no do you not understand? Continued on with it. So we finally emailed TriVita and informed them that we were going to the AGs in Arizona, Kentucky, and to the Federal Trade Commission, as well as Amex and the BBB. And I understand, I got a call from a friend of mine in Scarsdale, New York, who does my Internet work, and she informed me, I guess we've got about probably six or seven numbers to call tomorrow. But, I mean, you know, this is the type of stuff with these stations taking these infomercials where they don't do any research in advance at all.
Is your point, do you believe that TriVita is associated with Kevin Trudeau?
No. There's no causal connection. This was TriVita's info followed after Trudeau's. And basically where we're seeing these infomercials are on the stations now that have the high-density television channels where they'll operate, like, say, three different channels. So that's where we're seeing it. But this was with the cactus health product called Napalea. And of course, I have a background in law and consumer behavior. And I mean, when I say no, I mean no. But I mean, it was stunning to me to see this type of stuff. And an older person could be easily channeled or switched or directed, you know, into a hundreds of dollar purchase.
You should surely be in touch with the Attorney General of Arizona, I would think.
Yeah, one of the things that people unfortunately think is if it's on TV, it must be true.
Exactly.
And some of that goes back to the old days. The networks actually do quite a bit of screening. They demand substantiation for it. Cable channels don't. And unfortunately, a lot of people carry over their old sense of reliability got from the major networks to other stations. And the fact that it's on TV doesn't mean anything. We also wish that the TV stations would do a better job of screening these.
We agree as well. You can't, you know, put enough information in that situation, but going to the Google and search engine, putting in the company's name and putting the word scam is going to give you a lot of information ahead of time before doing business with them.
We thank you, sir, for a very informative call, and also commend you, I think, for your active good citizenship. Mm-hmm. We've only got about a minute and a half left. What important questions should I have asked that I did not?
But that particular case itself?
Or generally?
Well, generally, the offer seems too good to be true. It usually is. There's not going to be a cure for cancer. There is no cure for cancer that people know about. But consumers don't do their due diligence in checking out ahead of time. We have the panacea for consumer fraud. Consumers need to check out the company or the offer first, and we wouldn't have consumer fraud. We wouldn't have a top 10 scam list. But consumers know where to complain. They just don't know where to look for information.
There's massive, massive frauds in dietary supplements. We really encourage people to check this stuff out very carefully. And especially if there's a free trial offer, be very, very mm-hmm. careful. We just settled with a company that made $400 million on people thinking they were giving their credit card for $1.95 free trial sample. And then, bam, everybody got hit by at least $100. These are all over the Internet. So be very, very careful with the dietary supplements, especially over the net, and especially if you give them your credit card number.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, once again, the contact points for both of your organizations.
The Better Business Bureau is BBB.org, and also our phone number is 312-832-0500.
And the Federal Trade Commission is 877-FTC-HELP, mm-hmm. or complain online at FTC.gov.
And our guests have been Steve Bernas of the Better Business Bureau, of which he is the president and CEO, the local BB, and Stephen Baker, director of the Federal Trade Commission for the Midwest region. We'll be back again tomorrow night at 10. Meanwhile, we urge you to check out the website, wgnradio.com/extension720, for podcasts of all of our programs, all of our recent ones, and many classic Extension 720 programs. Until tomorrow at 10, a cordial good night to all.